And let's practice in a really gentle way that offers a soft landing into the body, into this moment. Depending on what has been happening in your day so far, you know, it might be nice to actually locate yourself in space, like in the room where you're sitting. So you might even decide you want to begin with eyes open for a few moments to really take in the colors, the shapes, maybe the people in the room with you. Maybe there's a window that offers you a perspective on the world outside. You might even, you know, let yourself look around, even turning to look behind you, letting the neck and the hips turn in one direction, and then the other. Yeah, we live in these animal bodies that are experiencing so many stressors, and the animal body often anticipates threat from behind. So just looking behind us often help settle the nervous system. And you might even feel that sometimes a slightly deeper breath just begins to settle the body quite naturally. You don't have to do anything. And as you begin to land in this body, you might feel drawn to simplifying the visual field. It might be that softening the gaze downwards and in front of you begins to let the eyes and the mind rest. You might even choose to close your eyes entirely, releasing the pull of the outside world for this next little while as we practice. These eyes that so much of the time these days are glued to screens and to gift. Eyes and body and mind, an opportunity to rest, to nest into this moment right here. Feeling the soles of your feet on the floor. Feeling your bottom on the chair or the couch or the cushion. Resting into the support of gravity, this welcoming force that holds and supports us right here. And as you rest this earth body on the earth, you might sweep your awareness down through the body, almost as if a warm sunbeam were washing downwards from the crown of your head, slowly, slowly, towards the soles of your feet. And as your awareness meets each part of your body in turn, inviting a softening and a settling in any way that's available to you. Letting the eyes rest back into their sockets. And the jaw release ever so slightly. A slight parting of the lips. An opening through the throat. And so each time you might encounter a reservoir of tension or tightness in the body, pausing and letting a breath wash through, soothing and supporting the possibility of letting go. Shoulders melting away from ears. Arms and hands at ease and relaxed. The abdomen open and receptive, releasing any bracing or impulse toward movement from the legs and the lower body. As you sit here, this precious, precious body. Perhaps inviting in a quality of care. Quality of tenderness, for whatever's here in this moment, it might be as simple as bringing a hand to the heart center for a few breaths. This practice is a cultivation of the capacity to know what's happening while it's happening. With kind attention, this practice is about fully inhabiting the life that's right here, both the difficult and the delightful moments. And the hand on the heart can be a way of reminding ourselves that we bring not only awareness, but warm-hearted awareness. To our experience and to ourselves. And you're welcome to keep your hand on your heart as long as you like. As long as it feels nourishing, and if it feels kinder to release the hand, doing so, and choosing where to rest your attention. For the remainder of our sitting here together, it might be that just feeling the body as a whole, is where your attention wants to rest. It might be feeling the soles of your feet, releasing the pull of the mind, and just resting into the earth is most nourishing. Or perhaps feeling and following the breath. provides a supportive home base. Feeling the rise and fall of the rib cage or the belly. Finding a home base. Breath or body that gives you a place to rest, in the present, each time you find yourself caught up in the activity in the mind, planning or worrying or daydreaming, just resting back into the receptive steadiness of your home base. Letting the next breath, the next moment of feeling your feet, be an island of presence in a sea of distraction. And savor the simplicity of just being here. Home base of this moment is always here to welcome you, no matter how long or how far you've wandered. Resting into the next breath, next moment of feeling the body. Remembering that spirit of warm-heartedness. The moment of homecoming is a moment of celebration, not a moment for critique. In the moment of homecoming, you're already here, present, alive. As we come into the final minutes of our practice together today, perhaps drinking in the nourishment of having a place to rest, having a home base, ready to receive you at any moment. And may this nourishment, this capacity for steadiness in a sea of distraction, may it be part of the gift you carry with you into the world today, this week, offering a sense of steadiness, rest, and warm-hearted welcome to others, so that all beings, so that our wider world might know a greater measure of peace, ease, and freedom. May it be so. So, I often, after practice, have sort of offered some reflections on some theme, and I don't know where I might be wanting to go or carry this Wednesday drop-in in the new year. And so, you know, and because it's been a little while since we have met, I think I'll keep comments brief and then offer a little time, whether we stay together as a group or have optional breakout rooms, just for a little check-in, a sense of, you know, how are you? And, you know, my sincere wish, because I don't know where all of you live, I know I've been in touch with some of you after the fires. My sincere hope is that you are each safe and that your home was not impacted in the, you know, the fires at the end of the year, and that you don't necessarily know those dear to you that are. But as I've been sitting with people this past month, my experience has been that a large number of people felt the reverberation of the impact on the local community in some way, and may only be 1 or 2 degrees removed from direct impact. So in the spirit of that, you know, I've definitely been reflecting quite a bit on just this idea of home. You know, what is home? And how do we navigate, you know, the pain of you know, everything that's happened and the impermanence of really knowing or experiencing pretty nearby that our home, whether it's literally the four walls you live within, the town that's dear to you, or the planet that is our bigger home, is profoundly precious and poignantly vulnerable. You know, there's just a real tenderness that I've been feeling. And it's like, how do we love and care for our home, in all of its manifestations, the human family, which is part of our home, the environment, which is our home, the community, that's our home. You know, how can we do that with an open heart, without the added suffering of attachment to things staying exactly as they are, because we can't freeze frame what's here. So this is that profound, painful teaching around impermanence that so much of meditation practice and teachings in many wisdom traditions points to. And one of the ways we do that, and you know, the simplicity of today's practice of coming home to the body, to the breath, is to find a reference point, a quality of steadiness or stability within our practice, within the moment, so that there are these islands of peace, you know, and they might just be a tiny little stepping stone of this breath. And then 20 breaths from now, I notice another one. And 20 minutes from now, I notice another one through my busy day. But that anchor can be steadying in this sea of change. There's a quote, I know some of you have heard me share this before. Let's see if I can find it. I know I had it pulled up somewhere, that I love, from wise beings are in so many places. So this one's from Glinda the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz. And Glinda says, home is knowing. Knowing your mind, knowing your heart, knowing your courage. If we know ourselves, we're always home, anywhere. Home is knowing. And I find myself exhaling when I think about home that way, you know, as someone who packed a bag and evacuated and came home and was lucky enough to come home. It's like, oh, you know, in a way I never left home. Home traveled with me and it traveled back with me, and this quality of knowing, you know, knowing our minds, knowing our hearts, knowing our courage, you know, those teachers of the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Lion. It's like those qualities are really good resources for these times, aren't they? You know, a clear mind, a tender heart, and courage. Courage. And courage is not about being without fear. Courage is being afraid and still being engaged, still acting. You know, and I think that as I sit with people in recent weeks, there's quite a bit of fear in many people's nervous systems, you know, about a variety of things. You know, if you love something, whether it's the earth or democracy or your community or, you know, dear friends who are sick with COVID, it's like if you love something, and most of us do, there's a lot to be afraid of in this sea of uncertainty. And so having a home base can be steadying, can be stabilizing. And I appreciate the simplicity of holding home as knowing, just knowing what's happening while it's happening with warm-hearted awareness. Most days, that feels like a bar that might be achievable, you know, just knowing a moment with some kind curiosity. So I like keeping it simple in these very complicated times. And I might pause there. I'll see if there's anything else maybe the last thing I'll name that's also been very alive for me in recent weeks. Some of you may know or have followed the death of Thich Nhat Hanh, you know, just this beloved, wisdom keeper of our time. I feel like we've lost a number of wisdom keepers in many traditions. I was thinking about the other one that's really been in my heart in recent weeks again is, you know, John Lewis, and just this, the moral compass of Congress. And so there are these wise beings in many places. And one of the gifts of Thich Nhat Hanh, I think, was the sense of home in any moment. You know, he was a teacher where practice was available in any moment in the ordinariness of daily life. So I know he loved drinking tea. So for me, the daily practice, I've really savored this last week or so in honor of him, is making a cup of tea and like really drinking tea, you know, feeling the warmth and the scent and the savoring. Coming home to the moment and letting it nourish.